book, Vince. But we've been talking about the idea of how to overcome anxiety. And today we're going to look at a Christmas-themed version of how to overcome anxiety with light. And to do that, I want to take you to a city. Now I'm going to show some pictures of this city. See if you can figure out what city it is. First is this picture. Does anybody know this skyline?
Looks like Pittsburgh.
Looks like Pittsburgh. It could be, but it's not.
Chicago.
It could be any city, right?
Right.
Now I'm going to show you another picture of the skyline. This one has a few little clues in it, okay? See if you can find out this. Now, here's the same city, same skyline, but there are at least two clues in it.
Oh, that Ferris wheel.
Okay, there's the Ferris wheel.
The mountains in the background.
I'm sorry?
Mountains in the background.
Mountain in the background. Anybody know that?
It's Seattle.
It's Seattle, right. The other clue is the stadium. Right there. This is Seattle. Now, if I had shown you this picture, you would have immediately known it, right? Okay, what is the structure that immediately told you Seattle? The Space Needle. Does anybody remember when it was made? 62. In the World's Fair was there. And there's a restaurant at the top. That's pretty good, and it revolves, and it's actually one of the better revolving restaurants around. But what makes this revolving restaurant so unique is the floor is made out of glass, and you can see straight down. So you're not going for that one? Well, this is the restaurant's now called the Loop Lounge because it loops around. Yes, please eat a cookie. But Seattle is known for many things. It's known for Microsoft. It is known for Amazon. It's known for Starbucks.
How about rain?
And rain. But more important than rain is fog. Seattle is known as the record as the nation's saddest large city. And this especially comes around in the February timeframe. I think it's February. There are some months where the 2 weeks in February, studies were done. 45% of adults say that they're dealing with feelings of sadness and depression. That people 18 or older in the metro area, 1.4 million of them are feeling down. And why is this? Because of the cloud cover, because of the overcast, because they're not getting any light. These feelings, light does some things for us. Light is a very positive thing for us. Natural light, it causes our brain to manufacture certain chemicals which help uplift our mood. And when we are in darkness, how do you feel?
Depressed.
Yeah, or do this. I once worked on a project where I went to Washington, D.C. Now that isn't what depressed me, but the project, I was working in a basement. It was a computer data center in a basement. So how many windows do we have?
None.
And it was well lit. It wasn't a cave. But over the months I was working on this project in this basement, just these feelings. I couldn't put my finger on it. But it's the idea that light really does uplift us. And we hear this in the words of Jesus. George read them for us this morning, but I've got somebody a little bit better to read them for us. How about Jesus? In The Chosen, here is Jesus reading from the Old Testament, and we hear the Apostle John reading from the first words of his gospel.
A reading from the first scroll of Moses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the earth was void and without form.
And the Word was with God.
And the darkness covered the face of the deep.
And the Word was God.
Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it.
I really like the way they paired those two readings of creation and this description of the Creator, Jesus, and how he says these words that we heard this morning. But let us look at them again. In the beginning was what?
The Word.
The Word. What does the Word mean? What, when you hear that, that in the beginning was the Word.
George explained it as the Word was God, because God spoke everything into existence.
Because he was God, and the Word, when God created the universe, he didn't use a test tube set.
He spoke.
He didn't use anything that was around. He didn't go find his erector set. Like I did as a kid. Anybody else here have an erector set? Couple of us. And he didn't take anything that was existing. He used his voice. And his voice had power, and the power to create. And this idea of the Word also has the idea of how things work. I just got a new phone. And I'm really thrilled with it. This is my new phone. I'm thrilled. See my new phone?
Nice.
But watch. Ooh.
That's cool.
It is cool. But not because I have it, but it is cool in itself. But, you know, you get these new things, right? You get these new things, and what do you do with your new thing immediately?
Play with it.
Anybody pull out the instructions?
No.
Instructions? What is that? No. The Word has the idea of, here it is, and here's how it came into being, and here's the best way to use it, and oh, by the way, don't use it like this. You know, when we lived in Wilmington, Delaware, we had no money. And so to try to save money in the winter time, I bought a kerosene heater. Anybody know what a kerosene heater is?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, they're great, aren't they? Yeah, maybe. We'll have a conversation about that later on. But, you know, it had instructions. And I thought, well, you know what? Well, I had it here in the kitchen because that's where we spent most of our time. And our daughter decided that it would make a great piece of gymnastics equipment.
Oh, boy.
And it was on for some time, and she did a handspring on it, putting her hand on the top as she did a cartwheel. And guess what?
She got burned.
She got burned, baby. Burn, baby, burn. You know, so we have that. And I thought to myself, well, I guess she didn't read the instructions. But, you know, sometimes when you take a shower or get a bath, you get cold in the winter.
Yes, ma'am.
I had an idea. Why not take the kerosene heater up and put it in the shower with me.
Goodness.
That way it could keep it nice and warm. I really didn't do that, but the thought did cross my mind.
My guess was going to be, how big is your shower?
Not that big. So the idea is the kerosene heater has certain rules that go with it, right?
Right.
How it's supposed to be used, how not to use it. You know, don't put an electric heater in the tub with you to heat up the water. It may work for about a half a second before your hair stands on end. So the Word, when God talks about Him being the Word, part of it is, this is who I am. This is how I made things. Think about it like this. Has anybody ever been in a boat or a kayak or a canoe in a river?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. What does a river do?
Flows.
It has a flow. It has movement. Which way is easiest to move within your canoe or boat when you're in the river?
Downstream.
Downstream. You're going along with the flow.
You don't have to do a thing. It'll just take you.
That's right.
But you and have to guide around the rocks.
You have to guide around the rocks. But you see, there's a flow to life. The Word, the way God made things, says, I want to tell you something about me. Read Romans 1 about how creation describes who God is. And there is a flow to it. And when we go along with the flow, how does life go?
Easy.
Easier. Not perfect, but easier, right? What happens when you try to go against the flow?
Harder.
Against the current. I grew up in Maryland on the Chesapeake Bay, and we always went fishing on an incoming tide. Now, you know what an incoming tide is?
Yes.
What's that?
Water's coming in.
Water's coming in. And I don't know why, but the fish seemed to bite. Mm-hmm. And we would bite, we would catch, and when the tide stopped moving, it's like somebody threw a switch. Or somebody sent a text message to all those fish on their cell phones, and guess what?
No
fish. They stopped. You know, they went to Starbucks. I don't know where they went, but they stopped biting. Now, we could sit there and fish while the tide was neutral or on an outgoing tide, but we weren't going to get much, if anything. But when the tide turned again, started to bite again. You see, we have a choice. Am I going to go along with the flow of the way God made the universe? Or am I going to fight him? Am I going to fight him? Think about, maybe some of you work with wood. You know, it's easier to cut wood along the grain. It's easier to sand with the grain. It's easier to use a plane to shave some off along with the plane, with the groove, with the way it's made. And God made the world a certain way in the universe, and the Word was with God, and as Rich said, the Word what?
Was God.
When it says the Word what God, was God, what does that mean?
Same thing.
He be God. The Word is God, one and the same. There is no division. He is God. And for some of your friends who think, well, Jesus wasn't God, I'm sorry. We like you. We want to be your friend. But Jesus is God. And he goes on. He goes on to say that he was with God in the beginning. In the beginning, whenever that was, going back, depending on what you believe or how what the science says, there was a point before stuff. There was a point in time before anything. And then things happened. But before any of that, there was Jesus. Jesus was around. Jesus wasn't made like an angel. He wasn't born like you and me. In one sense, he was, But in his character and his nature as God, he has lived from eternity past. And this Word was in the beginning. And through him, that's the Word, the Son, how many things were made?
All things.
And how much is in all?
Everything.
Everything. Everything. Whether there's a verse in the New Testament that says, whether it be thrones or dominions or powers, that everything that was made has been made through the Son. Nothing was made outside of his control, outside of his direction. Marianne, my dear bride of a few years, has trouble believing this because snails get in her garden. And she sees the snails and goes, ooh! And she then calls me out to step on them. Why would God make a snail? That's like, I don't have the mind of God, but there is a reason. There is a reason. Nothing was made that wasn't made by him. And in him was life. What is life? What does life include?
Everything,
maybe.
Anything breathing.
I'm sorry?
Activity.
You don't have life without movement.
Growth.
You have growth. Some of us are exhibiting growth a little more than others. But yeah, there are all these things that are going on in life. Yes.
You also have death with it.
You have death. Because the way the world is made right now, in its broken state, life stops. But not forever. He says, in him was the life, and that light was the light of all mankind. Who is left out of this picture?
No one.
Everyone. The person you see walking down the street, the person that pulls over to the side and helps you change the tire on your car, the person who cuts you off, they're all of us are in that same vein. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Before there was science, before there was physics, we have this truth. The truth is what? When there's a battle between light and darkness, who wins?
Light.
Light. If I were to turn on the switch, what's going to happen?
Light.
The darkness isn't going to swallow it up?
No, it's going to disappear.
No. When there's a battle between light and darkness, light always, always, always wins. Darkness is weak. It has no power. Light has the power. Light has the energy. Light overcomes the darkness. Light and darkness, we think of them as opposites, but not really. Light always wins. It's not like, in my mind as a kid, I thought, well, there's good and evil, and they're going to have a battle one day, and good's just going to happen to win. No, light always wins. Light always defeats. Light always. And you say to yourself, well, in my life, there has been darkness, and you know that darkness ate my lunch a couple of times. But in the end, light will win. Light, that's the guarantee that you can hold on to. When all hell is breaking loose, you can hold on to the light. And we know that because what does Jesus say about himself? He says what? I am the light of just...
of the world.
Of the world, not just Israel, not just of some people, of the world. He is the light, and the light overcomes the darkness. The light of the world. He's the one, the only light. Now, you know, there are other religions and there are other leaders. None of them said anything like this. None of them were involved with creation. They were born, they lived, they died, they're done. Jesus, not true. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this Jesus calls us to be with him, and that starts with the C word, change. Because we've got to change. Because if we say who we are, guess what? We don't follow. Jesus calls us to change. It's exact. And again, this one is in deference to Carl. We had an announcement a couple weeks ago about a new car. This is a vehicle, the Cybertruck, and it is. Just look at it. And what do you think?
Ugly.
Ugly. Space age, wildly different looking, right?
I like it.
You like it? Yeah. It's pretty, it has its followers, you know, but they decided, here's what they actually did. They bought every truck there was. They took off the outer body, you know, the shell, the metal that we see. They took it off, and you know what? People couldn't tell the difference from one truck or another. Because underneath the skin, underneath the body, they were all the same. And they said, we want to do something different. And we've got to be willing to change. It was a big risk to change. Here's an interview of a section of a video with two of the Cybertruck heads. We got Jay Leno interviewing, his name is head of design, Franz, and then the head of engineering, Lars. Lars is the short guy in the white. He's the guy you want to listen to. Now, they're talking about the windshield wiper. It's got just one big, humongous windshield wiper. But then Jay Leno asks a question about the power, about the electricity inside this vehicle. Listen closely.
You know, I always wanted it to be smaller, right. Less of a thing.
Every day.
And these guys are like, no, it's got to be big and beefy.
Well, let me ask you about 48 volts, because yeah. when I was a kid, a lot of cars were 6 volt. Mm-hmm. Then they went to 12. Mm-hmm. And I've always told that 48 volt was the maximum amount a human could take on a shock without injuring themselves.
I mean, that's, you know, like what OSHA says, it's a little over that, I think it's 50, 52 volts.
And okay.
So we keep it at 48 volts because it's, you know, 4 times the power, but, you know, heat goes with I squared R.
Why has the rest of the industry resisted 48 volts? Because,
I mean, change is hard, Jay.
You have
to want to change.
yeah, but it seems like with...
Did you hear what Lars said? Change is what?
Hard.
And... you've got to want the change. You've got to really want it. If you and I want to become more and more like Jesus Christ, you got to want it. When my mom went into the hospital the first time, that eventually led to her death, she had these problems. And she went into a rehab facility because she was so weak. And I remember sitting down with Mom, and you know, the rehab people come in to do the physical rehab and stuff. And I said, Mom, do you want to go home? Yes, I want to go home. Okay, if you want to go home, you've got to want to do these things. You have got to push yourself to want to do them. Some of you have had knee replacements. I've had 2 hip replacements. You know, other kinds of procedures. You know, Rich has had a horrific accident. You gotta want it. You gotta want it. And God is there saying, I want you. But the question is, do we want him back? Are we willing to give up? Are we willing to change? Are we willing to make those choices? And Christmas is all about choices. Did you know that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why do you know that? Because Jesus changed his address. He was, where was he?
Heaven.
He was in heaven, the old hymn. He left his father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for oh my God, it found out me. Change. Jesus changed his address from eternity past. He's being worshiped by the angels. Holy, 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 Isaiah tells us. And he gave that up for you and for me. He was willing to change. He came down. And he came down for you and for me because we needed to change. Something more significant than an oil change. We needed a change of heart. Our hearts were stone cold towards him. We had turned and we needed a change. And Jesus came to die for that change. And Isaiah talks about this change and its impact, where in Isaiah 40, he says, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. It's a very famous passage in Isaiah. One of the things about eagles is, and birds in general, is guess what? They fly, but they're one set of wings. Do they keep that, those feathers? Do they keep that one set of feathers forever and ever?
No.
No. What do?
Change.
They molt. The feathers come off. And what Isaiah is trying to picture here is the idea that the eagles will have not just feathers, but fresh, strong feathers that come after a time of molting. Now, molting is not a very fun word. Molting is not a fine time of life because you can't do everything you thought you wanted to do. Eagles are made to fly. They lose their feathers. Guess what? No flying. They're grounded for a time. And if maybe you recall this, I want to let the scene from Chariots of Fire where Eric Liddell reads. He had a choice. His choice, and for him, the choice was run on Sunday or not. And in him, in the faith he had, he said, running on Sunday, I can't. And he was willing to change. He gave up a potential Olympic gold medal to stay true to the faith he had. Listen as he reads it.
He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no strength, he increaseth might. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint.
Jesus had died for him said no. Now, I don't know what those things are inside of you. We all have those borders that God says you can go so far, but not anymore. Eric Liddell had the strength of his convictions to stay within those boundaries. Because just like Isaiah 40, there are four things, those four boundaries. First is that it gives not just strength, it gives new strength. You know, we can be weak. We can be weak, but we can turn to God and he will give us strength. We exchange our weakness for his strength. We go to the stock exchange or the bank of eternity, and we make deposits of weakness. And what do we get in return? His strength. Second, we get a different view of the world, a different perspective, a different view. It says, he will mount up like wings. You know, when an eagle is flying, guess what? He's above all that stuff, isn't he? He's got a different view of life. When we're down in the trenches, it's easy to get discouraged, isn't it? But if we look at life from God's perspective above, we get a different view. We see it how he sees it. Thirdly, he gives us energy. He gives us, we will run and not be weary. He gives us the power to walk through this life. The dailiness of life. He gives power for the day. And he gives bright hope for tomorrow. And fourthly, he gives us purpose. We deepen our purpose to persevere, to stay at it. There are going to be times where you're just going to want to give up. You've been there? You've been at that point where you say, you know, just chuck it all. There are times when we want to do that. But God says, my strength is made perfect where?
In
your weakness. And all of this is to give us life. Give us life in him. I'll never forget seeing the birth of our two biological children. And I don't know why they did this, but they wanted me to cut the umbilical cord. You know, I was like, really? You don't want me to do that, no. But, you know, in the birth, with every birth, there's a scar. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Your belly button is the scar of birth. For $20, anybody know the medical term? Umbilicus. Your belly button is a scar from life. And God says, there may be these little scars, but they are marks of ownership. They are marks that you belong to me. They're marks that I gave you life. There's a famous painting of Jesus with doubting Thomas. We have this one, and it's from 1602. And, you know, it's kind of cool. He's sticking his hand in there, kind of rooting around. But, you know, the truth of it is that he said to Thomas to do what? Put your hand, your finger here, and in my side. Stop doubting and believe. That's the words God wants to say to me. And I maybe think it's the words he wants you to hear and believe too. Stop doubting. It's easy to doubt. It's time to stop the doubting. He has showed his disciples that he's alive, and they still doubted. I would bet that God has shown you many things about who he is in your life. And what do we keep doing? I can't speak for you. Keep going back and say, yeah, but what about this? What about that? You know, I got this, I got that. God says, it's time, Christmas is the greatest time to stop doubting. So it's time to go home and wrap up a Christmas present. I don't know if you've wrapped any presents, but some of us wrap presents like this.
Amen.
Amen, I got an amen. Okay, but you know, we think about what is it that God wants me to give to him? And immediately you think of what? You think of bad things, right? These negative things? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe God wants you to say, yeah, I do have a negative thing, but maybe God says, I want you to give me what you think you're good at. I want you to give me what you think makes you acceptable to me. You see, we have this thing that says, if I do this, God will like me. Some of us say, well, God, I did this for you, then you're going to like me? He says, no. Wrap up our goodness, our self-goodness, and wrap that together with those other things that we hide, and it's time to say, God, here it is. It's time to give that as the present to Christmas, to the one who came for us. I'm reminded of, her name is Charlotte Elliott. What a great godly woman. And she fought with depression. She had these overwhelming feelings come over her that said, I'm not good enough. You ever played that song? I'm not good enough. I've got all these things, my problems. And there was a point in time where one night it just overwhelmed her. And she said, you know, how can God love me? I'm just so terrible. She woke up the next morning and these feelings kept coming. And she had no defense. So she thought, I'm going to write down the truth that I know. I'm going to write down so that I can hold on to it and I can read it to show me the truth about who God is and how he loves me. And we celebrate her life. We celebrate her life and her struggle every time we either think the words or we sing the words or the words are sung, just as I am, without one plea, that by thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am. She writes, I'm going to find it.
Waiting not.
And, well, just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fear from within and without. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise, I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. I don't know how many Billy Graham, things were done. I don't know how many church services, invitations have been sung using those words.
That one got me.
That got 19, you?
1969, December.
Thank God. We thank God that he was faithful to her, to Charlotte, but also that she went through it. She didn't give up. She stayed faithful, and she did what she could. Didn't seem like a big deal at the time, but how many people have come underneath of those words because of her Lord was faithful to her, and she stayed at it. This is the time to stay at it, the time to give our weakness and our strengths to God. Wrap them up and give them to him. Would you pray with me? Our Father and our God, we're so grateful that you are the God of all creation, the God who loves us, the God who cares, the God who uses everything. And we rejoice at Christmas because you changed your address and you came down for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.